and welcome to another episode of Free of Fear, Full of Joy. I'm Jahari.
I'm Michaela. Darlings,
this is Michaela, our guest today.
Thank you.
She and I work together on Free of Fear, Full of Joy. She is our marketing coordinator, director, supervisor, all things. And she keeps this podcast tight. She is part of our team, along with Omari Williams, who's over there in the rafters. So welcome, darlings. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome, Michaela.
I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited that you're here.
Yes.
This is okay. Okay, so today we're going to talk about parenting styles.
Yes.
You know, this is Mother's Day. Is it Mother's Day week?
Yes.
It is Mother's Day week.
Mm-hmm.
And people keep asking me what I want to do. I have no idea.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. I have no idea.
My mom always says peace and quiet. What do you want for your birthday? Peace and quiet.
You know what?
What do you want for Mother's Day?
You know what?
Peace and quiet.
I say that all the time. I've been saying that for years to them.
Yes.
That what do you want for your for Mother's Day? Peace and quiet.
Yep.
That's all I ever want.
Exactly.
That is exactly. What do you want for Mother's Day?
I want flowers.
Mm-hmm.
I want breakfast. I'm usually like that. Like, I just want to be peaceful, but
yeah.
I'm like, nope. Give me some luxury. Let's go out. Let's feel like a celebration.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You know, there's an age difference between the two of us. Me being the senior here, not senior citizen, just senior in, you know, in years of parenting. Not that it makes me superior by any means. I don't know what I'm doing. Kids don't come with instruction manuals. Yeah. They don't come with instruction manuals. You know what I'm saying? And each child is different. You know, if you have one or if you have 15, each one of them has a different way that they need to be parented.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes you get it right, sometimes you don't. But you, at least if you're a good parent, you continue to try, right?
Exactly.
So we're going to talk about millennial parenting versus Gen X parenting.
Okay.
And some of the things that Michaela and I have talked about that are different between the two of us are, and forgive my ignorance on this, home birth versus hospital birth.
Uh-huh.
I did not know anyone when my peers were having children. Not a single one of them had a home birth.
Yes.
I didn't know that was an option.
Yes.
Honestly.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something I thought about. We all went on our hospital tours.
Mm-hmm.
We all, you know, chose what suite we were going to have our babies in. We, you know, had the doctor, you know, we had met our midwife.
Mm-hmm.
We went to our classes to tell us everything. So it was more of a, you know, boutique, like, oh, I'm having my baby at Cedars. Oh, I'm having my baby at Queen of the Valley. You know, whatever, you know, like, oh, I'm having it at St. Joe's. Oh, and we're getting the private suite. You know, that's the mode we were on for having babies. But that is very different. People, you know, like, I didn't know what a doula was.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell
mm-hmm.
is a doula?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the fact that I had a doctor and a midwife, that was like, whoa. Everyone's like, whoa, you got the deluxe package. So, to have a baby. But, you know, regardless, giving birth is beautiful. It is also very
serious.
Hard.
Mm-hmm.
It is also, it's almost life-threatening.
Yes.
It's almost like,
mm-hmm.
and for me, at least one of my births was life-threatening.
Mm-hmm.
But I digress. You had a home birth.
Yes, I did.
Tell me about that. Like, you don't have to get into graphic details,
yes.
but like, how did you come to that thought?
So the quick answer is I first seen a home birth live. It was one of my close friends at the time. She and her husband were like, hey, we're having our third son. We're doing it like this at home. Come. And I'm like, okay. So they called me. It was actually my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, I'm in labor. I'm like, all right. So
what a birthday.
Right. I was like, okay, great. I left school because I was in college, left school, came to like, you know, help her out. She has other kids. So I was trying to be helpful and just monitor them and let her have her time. And I was there pretty much the whole day. And at 11:59, the baby came.
Wow.
And I watched everything. I like rubbed her. I massaged her and fed her when she was hungry, all that, you know, helped her out. And she had a midwife and a lot of support there. And I was like, wow, like I want to do that when my time comes.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got pregnant, I researched different people that I knew that had home births, and I kind of looked up their midwives or doulas, and I found mine, mm-hmm. A fellow Black woman. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Rashaw. And she gave me all the information, you know, me and Sayla's dad needed to know, and it was very, like, empowering, you know? So I just figured, I'm ready to do this, you know? So we did, like, a consultation, and that pretty much was the start of it. And then leading up to the birth, you know, you have your appointments and things like that. And you could do all the prenatal stuff that you want. It's not really like this limited idea that, oh, you just have a home birth and that's it. It's like you do appointments, you do all the screenings and tests and just like that. It's just a little bit more at your pace, at your, you know, comfort. Right. And then, yeah, the birth was... it was a lot. It was challenging. Mm-hmm. I mean, just knowing that your home is comforting, but the fact that you have to do this kind of, you know, by yourself in a way.
So this is my question. So through this, did you ever think like, gosh, I wish I had drugs?
That's the part that I'm saying was like, okay, I got to do this by myself. Cause it's like the painkillers were not there.
Right.
So, yeah, I was like, I wish there was something. But I kind of knew that that route wasn't what I wanted. So I was like, just bear it.
Okay.
You know, there's ways you can get past the pain, moving around, getting in the water. That's what I did. And then next thing I know, I kind of like fell asleep. And when I woke up, my midwife was there. And she was like, let me check you. And we checked. And she was like, you have like 30 minutes.
Right. Because
we were supposed to set up the whole pool.
Right.
But I was in the bathtub when she came. So by the time she got there, I was probably like 20 minutes, 30 minutes away from pushing like her out all the way.
Right.
So she almost missed it too. Because she was like, okay, call me when you need this. And call me when the contractions are like this. So I did. But... traffic and I just labored most of the way. And then by the time she got there, it was like, yeah, she's ready. Just either stay in the bathtub or you can go to your room. And I'm like, I'm staying right here.
Right.
So just pushed her out.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was not something that I was going to do. I prefer the drugs. But I commend you for being that brave and that earnest in your want to do that.
Thank you.
That's amazing.
It was empowering.
Now,
for sure.
You know, everything for everyone. You know what I'm saying?
Of like, course.
So now that you have your daughter, Sayla.
Sayla.
You know, I have two children. They're grown. As a Gen X person, we did not grow up with support or love. You know, we are the last feral generation, completely unsupervised. You know, our parents didn't know where we were till the lights came on at night, honestly. We could be doing anything. So the other downside of that is, you know, growing up without any support, you had to basically be your own support system, singularly, individually. So we tend to be really, really tough. And it's hard for us to put that with our children sometimes, to be supportive. Like we have to, you know, most of us have been in therapy. Can I get an amen from the Gen Xers out there? Most of us have been in therapy to get past that.
Yes.
But I think that in between, you know, my generation and then to yours and then my children are after yours, there seems to be more of a movement of, you know, communication, which we have with our children, but sometimes it can be contentious.
Yes.
Because we're operating on a principle that had no communication whatsoever.
Right.
You did what you were told and there were no questions asked and there were no choices. And giving them choices is something that's new.
Yes.
You know, but I feel like millennials are more supportive. And can you tell me some ways that you feel like you differ from like the way that you were parented to your daughter now?
Definitely. I think that when I grew up, like you said, it was a little bit more like I'm the parent, I'm the mom, I'm the dad. I grew up with both parents. Parents been married for 35 years. So it was a different structure, you know, where it was you say, well, what I say, you do, you know, and there was different, we had a little bit more of like flexibility with some of the things that we were able to do. But as far as communication, I wouldn't say we could just say how we feel.
Right.
And on the opposite end, for me, with my daughter, she's only four, but I, you know, ask her, tell me, you know, talk to me, what's up, what's going on? And right. she always doesn't, can't always articulate it, but she kind of knows that, mommy, I'm this way, I feel this way.
Okay.
And it's like, oh, well, what's wrong? Well, I'm sad about this, or I'm happy about this. So it's, we have a little bit more open communication as opposed to where it's like, if you mad or upset, okay, right. whatever,
right.
you know,
yeah.
get over it. Tomorrow's a new day.
Right.
And you don't really have that communication with your parents as, you know, most millennials right. kind of open up now, I think, right. with their kids.
And I think that's a beautiful thing. And I have learned things from millennial parenting because it is a struggle mm-hmm. for us because we want to give our kids choices and we want them to be more understanding. And I think with that, for our generation comes the village. But we mm-hmm. didn't really talk about that. You yeah. know, the village for us is you don't communicate with anyone outside the family,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think that we were probably the first generation that like started to create friendships that were like family.
Yes.
Because my parents, their best friends are their siblings or cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I grew up with people. We've raised our kids together. I've got three dope ass girlfriends, Mikey, Alexis, and Latrice. Shout out. that I love, our kids are the same age and we go through the same things at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate that. And I know that you mentioned that you have a village where you live.
Yes.
Yeah. So that must be really encouraging.
Oh yeah. The moms that, you know, are pretty much my neighbors. I mean, between us, I think it's three moms and we have like 6-7 kids. And we all, you know, talk, we hang out, we group chat, we send our kids to each other's house. You yeah. need something you need to rest for 10 minutes, bring mm-hmm. them over here. You yeah. need to go do this, bring them over here. They were at my house like last weekend having a summer party.
Yeah.
And they're like, we love it here. And I'm like, your house is right across the way. But they want to be there. And it's just like, if it gives your mom a break, I'm all for it. And
right.
then we switch off sometimes. So it's just a little bit more relieving to have like that support system and
yeah.
you're so close. So it just kind of makes it more secure. Feels good.
Yeah. yeah, it does feel good. You know, which also probably helps with not helicopter parenting because mm-hmm. we did not have that. So we helicopter parent, you know, I just have to say that we are the generation that created the participation trophy because we didn't want anybody left out, you know, because
yes.
we knew, you know, because with us, there was a sure winner and a sure loser.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for us also, like there were just so many other things that came with that. And we just didn't like to see our children have any kind of failure or pain, mm-hmm. which can backfire.
Yes.
It can backfire
yes.
a little bit, but at the same time, it does create, you know, this beautiful, mindful, activist,
mm-hmm.
you know, generation that is Gen Z. They are kind. They are supportive. They mm-hmm. are, you know,
inclusive.
Mm-hmm. They don't take no shit. And I love that. And
yeah.
I can't say that it's all about us, but you know, the way that we parented, but I'm wondering how you deal with that. Like, you know, like the helicopter versus just letting them run free.
Yeah. I'm kind of in the middle. You know, I think
yeah.
for my daughter, I give her a lot of space to mm-hmm. just do kind of the
things. Has she asked you for space before?
I told her, I said, Sayla, you need privacy sometimes, like uh-huh. a little. And she said, no, I said, I need space.
Yeah.
And she said, I don't have space. She's like, I don't have any to give pretty
right.
much. And I'm like, okay. But as far as like me hovering over her, kind of being super hands on, I am. But I try to give her enough room so that she can explore. She's very much attached. So I mm-hmm. think I grew up with I'm not saying my mother wasn't like affectionate, mm-hmm. but she was very stern, you know,
yeah.
and she had a demeanor about herself where you kind of like, all right, I get it, you know?
Yeah, our parents didn't tell us they loved us and they didn't hug us and they didn't say, I'm proud of you. They
mm-hmm.
didn't say like, good job.
Yeah.
They don't do that.
Yeah, so with Sayla,
it's like, you should know that.
Right. So with Sayla, it's like, I kind of struggle a little bit of like, am I not hands-on enough or am I giving her, you know, but I think I'm in the middle because I allow her to just have some fun and have some leeway. Mm-hmm. But I also spend a lot of time telling her like, this is how, you know, this is what things need to be. And so that's kind of where I'm at. I'm in the middle. I think I'm kind of like, I want to pay attention to everything, but I know that you need the independence so that you can later in life handle things and go through things on your own.
You have Stayla, and you have a career. Mm-hmm. And how do you feel about that? How's the work-life balance for you?
I would say right now it's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I think that I've learned to manage it. When I first was pregnant, I was working in the office a lot, and you know, I was more hands-on, like with the people that, you know, my coworkers and things like that. And then when I started getting closer to my due date, my boss was like, okay, start working from home. So I got accustomed to working from home for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then shortly after I had her, I wanted to go back to the office because I feel like more of the environment was like how I want to be. Mm-hmm. But I also needed to breastfeed her and get her acclimated to the world, right? And get myself acclimated to being a mom. So I think working from home made it a little bit more stressful, I would say, just because you know that, you know, you got to take care of the baby and you got to try to work. And you might see things around the house that you're like, oh, I want to clean that up. I want to do this. I want to take a nap. I want to go to the grocery store. So that made it hard, I think, because you get a little bit compacted with like all of the tasks that you have to do.
Right. Life, I was explaining that to my children the other day because I am very organized, but I wasn't always that way.
Yeah.
It was something that I had to learn and create, you know, schedules, and which is all things I hate. I don't like being on a schedule. I like to do things when I want. I'm the queen of spontaneity.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, let's go.
Yes.
Let's just do that. We'll do that later. I don't care. I can pivot in a moment. But I realized with children, I had to create lists. Mm-hmm. I had to set up dates. Yes. I had to set up, you know, all these things and do them on a regular basis, because also you doing that also shows your children that life has to have some structure.
Yes.
Not all the time, but as much as you can possibly try to get together. Mm-hmm. So that was something that was, you know, a hard learned lesson, time management, which is the biggest lesson for anyone, any mom, time management. The other thing is organization. I feel that a lot of women are flustered and angry and frustrated, you know, frustrated because they won't organize.
Yeah.
You know, and they kind of let themselves get into the space of, well, I'll get to it later. Mm-hmm. And because you're also exhausted.
Yeah. My friends and I, we made, like my mom friends, we made mood boards at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. And one of mine was like just keeping the house tidy was like one of my biggest things on the mood board, because I started to realize that when the house is a mess, that means my mind is a mess, right? So I'm like, dishes in the sink, stuff on the floor. What's Sailor's room looking like?
Then everybody wants to know why I have attitude.
Right. And so I'm like, you know what? I have to restart. So this year I've been doing much better, just tidying up, picking up things when they're there, not later, and putting it off, because then that's when the mind starts to get cluttered. Yeah. Oh, I got to do this. I got to do that, because I didn't do it in the moment. Yeah. And it just, it makes it easier for me, because then now I can relax with a clean house and not feel like I have a million things to do, because I'm able to just tackle it as I go.
Right. No, I understand that. That was the thing for me, especially when they were young, because there's mountains of laundry. There's, you know, lunches that have to be made. Mm-hmm. Dinner has to be made. Mm-hmm. Homework has to be done. Just, you know, getting them to bathe and all of the other stuff. But as I got older, I realized that I need to outsource some of this work.
Oh, yes.
So
that's where I'm
even
coming to.
I to this day, and even in between, it was a running joke with a lot of my friends when my first marriage ended, and in between, like, I budgeted a maid. Now, mind you, she wasn't very good.
Oh, no.
But No, she was, you know, the bathroom and kitchens were great, but like she wasn't like doing the baseboards and she would, but she would fold laundry.
Okay.
So the kitchen, the bathroom, the floors were great. Like, but if I wanted her to, you know, she's not going to dust up top. Like that I can handle. Yeah. That's every once in a while. Mm-hmm. But I realized that what I had in my budget, yes. and I just decided I wasn't going to go out with my friends as much. We were going to have dinner at the house more than going out. Mm-hmm. And then I was able to afford her. And I don't want to be without a housekeeper because yes. it relieves a lot of stress. I know that at the end of the week, she's coming through mm-hmm. and it helps mommy be better.
Yes.
Because if mommy is spending all of her time scrubbing the bathroom and mopping the floors.
She can't play with me.
I can't play mm-hmm. with you. I can't play with you. So that was something that I incorporated into my life first as like outsourcing work. It gave me more time to like, you know, pick them up from school and take mm-hmm. them somewhere fun.
Yes.
Instead of like, I got to get home because I got to do laundry.
Yes. That I think that's something that I'm learning as a mom is that I don't have to do everything. You know, like mm-hmm. I want things to get done, but I don't have to be the one. Like I yeah. might need, yeah, a maid or someone to help me with certain things sometimes. And that's where I'm getting at. It's like, mm-hmm. I think I need a maid because I feel like I am the maid, you know,
you
and
are.
Not that I don't mind, but I cook a lot because I don't have a microwave. Mm-hmm. So I'm always cooking, always doing dishes. And yeah, I'd rather sit down and eat and know mm-hmm. that these dishes are going to get clean. Right. Maybe at the end of the week, there's someone coming in and helping pick up the little small things that I may have missed. That would be great.
Yeah.
I started out
at first with someone coming every 2 weeks because that's what I could afford at the mm-hmm. time. So on that week and the kids, I have this tradition with them that started back then because my housekeeper always comes on Friday is no cooking on Friday. So we always went either when they were little, it was pizza Friday.
Okay.
We had pizza. They could have a friend over. But no cooking mm-hmm. on Friday. And it's still like that. Like, I just want one day.
Yeah.
One freaking day with mm-hmm. a clean kitchen. One.
Yes.
Saturday morning, I usually get up and make breakfast.
Right.
Because I can't keep that going for longer than just mm-hmm. one day. If it's just from 2 o'clock to 10 in the morning on Saturday, that's enough for me.
Right.
That's fine. Because
yeah.
I live in my home.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a mausoleum.
Yes.
So that was something that I learned as a mom that I had to outsource some things
mm-hmm.
and now my next one is you're gonna like this one.
Okay.
I do fluff and fold and they take everything.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't send my underwear. They take everything and they wash it, they fold it and deliver it back. So that's my new.
Is that like a weekly thing?
No, because my hamper doesn't get full weekly.
Okay.
You know, that's like once every 2 weeks. It's not like I'm washing baby clothes
right.
now. You know, if I had known that when there was baby, I wouldn't I wouldn't outsource my baby clothes. No.
Yeah.
I have to wash those myself. But if I had known, I would have outsourced my clothes and their father's clothes for sure.
Man.
But I didn't know about it. And now I do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've only been doing that for like 6 to 8 months now.
Okay.
That's not really a California thing. Like I'm from California.
Uh-huh.
So, but my New York friends would be like, where is a fluff and fold? You know, like, you know, several years ago.
Yeah.
I'd be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You mean a laundromat?
Like I do that.
You're right. Exactly. So that was something else I learned to outsource was, and that's only been in the last year. And it's taken a whole nother like level of relief off of me because, you know, that's one more thing I don't need to do.
Yeah. I think that's great. I think stuff like that is definitely what moms need more help with.
Yeah.
Even if you have like a partner at home, sometimes for both of you guys, if it's a partner, you know, you just need a little bit less work to do
mm-hmm.
and more time to kind of decompress, you know, enjoy mm-hmm. the kids, enjoy each other, mm-hmm. enjoy just doing nothing. I love to take a nap. Sayla's like, Mom, you going to take a nap? And I'm like, yes.
I love a nap.
Mm-hmm.
And that going into things that moms need.
Yes.
I always have been like a rep for clothing companies. I had territories that, you know, were all over Southern California. So I would stop working at 3, mm-hmm. like 2:30, 3 o'clock, come home, take a nap for an hour. The kids would be in homework club or extended play yes. for another hour and a half. I'd mm-hmm. pick them up at 4:30. Yeah, well, yeah, like 4:35. Mm-hmm. So I could get like a 45-minute yes. nap before I start my second shift, yes. which is the kids.
Exactly.
Which is the kids. So mm-hmm. Those are things that that I did for my own self-care and to not be so angry because just like you, my parents have been together almost 60 years.
Wow.
And but I'll get on that in a minute. but I realized that my mom, because she did it all herself, and you know, my dad did help. Mm-hmm. And then my sister and I had chores for right. the week. It still is a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of pressure. Yeah. And I think it probably altered her emotional quotient. Mm-hmm. She wasn't really able to do anything fun because she right. had to keep the house tidy.
Yes.
So I feel like my outsourcing has eliminated that kind of stress. Mm. There are other stressors, but that's one of them. So what tools have you found that help you be a better mom?
I think part of it is really just leaning on help other people sometimes.
Yeah.
That's been, you know, the best thing is like, you know, my parents, they're in their 60s, so I don't necessarily just offer Sayla to them all the time because I know like, okay, you guys want to enjoy your retirement and chill.
Yeah.
So I don't. You know, but sometimes they'll say, hey, yeah, we'll have her for a few days or something like yeah. that. So that helps me kind of just, you know, relax and get things done. But, I mean, that and other than friends that want to help yeah. out or come over sometimes. But Sayla's very, like I said, independent. And we kind of do a lot of things together. Mm-hmm. So I think as long as we're outdoors sometimes, it kind of eliminates some of the mommy, because it's like she's over there. She's got it. She's playing. She's doing something.
You're her favorite thing to play with.
Yeah, exactly. And then when we get home, I got to make her some food, and then she's chilling. She's yeah. pretty good.
Yeah.
But and then I invite her friends. Her friends come over all the time. So yeah. I think, I don't know, I kind of shift between, you know, getting help from like my parents or like some friends. Or just doing stuff outdoors where she doesn't really need me, but I'm there, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of yeah. helps out.
Yeah, the kids would have friends over a lot. I'm going to change subjects a little bit, and I'm going to ask you something because, like I said, my parents have been together 60 years, almost 60 years. It's like 57 or something like that. And your parents, you said, have been together 35 mm-hmm. years. So I was, as you know, I was married first mm-hmm. and then divorced, and I'm remarried now. But were your parents in any way like disappointed because you are a single mom?
I would say their initial reaction to me being pregnant was probably the shock because right. I wasn't married. Mm-hmm. I was with Sayla's dad at the time, but it wasn't, you know, a marriage.
Right.
And I had kind of played it a certain way before I told them that I was pregnant. Mm-hmm. I make sure that I signed a lease for an apartment first yeah. and kind of got all the questions they were going to ask
right.
me answered. That way I can give them the news mm-hmm. and it wasn't going to be other follow-up questions I were going to worry.
Where are you going to live? How are you going to support this baby?
And they gave me all of those
where
questions
he at?
In a list, like pretty much just like I had all the answers.
Okay,
and they
good.
Were shocked and still upset because they're like, dang, like,
yeah.
You got yeah. it figured out, but, you know, still disappointed. But I think now that I am a single mom, I think they admire it. The fact that yeah. I had a plan and I stuck with it. And even though things right. didn't go the way that I wanted to in the mm-hmm. outcome, that I still am living on my own, doing what I need to do. I haven't right. come back home and mommy, I need this or dad, I need that. It's like, we got it. Me
right.
and Sayla, we're good. And they're proud. They tell me often,
good.
You know, they help out a lot. I invite them over for like dinners
yeah.
and we go cook at their house too. So I think they look at it as like they're proud.
Yeah.
But before it was like, what about this and what about that? And I know mm-hmm. they still have dreams for me. I still yeah. want to have more kids and get married yeah. in the future. But looking back, I think that was they were just worried about me being pregnant in the beginning. Now yeah. they're like, she got right. it.
yeah. My parents, you know, I was married. Me getting divorced was a thing for them. And yeah. they were really team him mm-hmm. for a little while until they started to see why
mm-hmm.
and then they were like yeah. back on my side about yeah. this, but it was a painful process
mm-hmm.
Like any breakup is but yeah, initially they were not happy about yeah. me getting divorced. Me having kids, that was a completely different thing, you mm-hmm. know. We were engaged when I was pregnant with my son, so it wasn't, and we had bought a house, so it wasn't, and I was old-ish.
yeah.
But, you know, we have to deal with those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But I think that those experiences make us stronger, and yeah. I think that now, not just because I'm remarried, but my parents saw, you know, how I pulled myself and my children without any help
mm-hmm.
out of this, you know, financial abyss
mm-hmm.
and, you know, all of the emotional roller coaster that came with that on my own.
Yeah.
So they respect me more now, I mm-hmm. think, as because I went through that mm-hmm. than they did even when I was, you know, married initially.
Yeah.
So I think it just, you know, showed them what I'm made of.
Yeah. I think same, because, you know, my parents, they got married, I think, like when they were 28, 29,
mm-hmm.
Waited like, I think, 4 years, bought a house, had my brother first, and then had me. So it was a little bit more of a different way that they did it, you know? And marriage was always like something that was big for them, you know? Yeah. And I think that I admire that a lot about them. And I definitely want that for myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things happen in life, so it doesn't always go as planned. But I think just the structure of having that security mm-hmm. was something they always, you know, wanted me to have.
Right.
You know, my grandma always would say, like, make sure you marry, you know, don't do this unless you get married. and even though me and her talked a lot too about relationships and stuff like that, it was, they just wanted security, you know? And it wasn't always about happiness.
Though. Right.
The marriage part wasn't always make sure you're loved. It was like, make sure you got security.
Right.
And so I think for me, I want both, but, you know, sometimes, and as millennials, we want to have the love. We want the commitment. Yeah. We want to be able to feel good about the relationship. And when it doesn't, we be out. We be like, all right, this is up.
Right.
We done.
And I think for Gen Xers, we had no idea what it takes to be married. We just were like, thought we get married and everything turns out perfect, right?
Yeah.
Everything's just perfect. Uh-huh. I'll get married and everything will be perfect. Like, we didn't discuss things like finance, how many children we want, what's your
parenting style,
parenting style. Mm-hmm. Like, what do we do in a crisis?
Yeah.
Like, you know, all those kinds of things. It was just like, we're in love
mm-hmm.
and we didn't go through all the rest of the things. And that was a lesson that I learned. And I think that through our lesson, I think that, you know, millennials have learned that too. Like, you know, actually talk about finances,
mm-hmm.
actually, you know, talk about these things. Like, we just thought, like, if you were in love, then you had everything in common.
Yeah. Yeah.
You already had everything in common. You didn't need to do any more background mm-hmm. searches.
Right.
You were fine.
But just like you said, it's like, what is the representative?
Yes.
Know? You meet the person that you like and love, and then you get married, and it's like, who are you?
Who are you?
What?
Then they decide to show you who they really are when you were dating and married the representative.
The kids come, and then it's like, it's different. I think that's also a thing, too, which, I mean, I'm not married or have been married, but I know that when you're dating someone or in a relationship, it's all lovey-dovey, you know, and then the kid comes, and then that's another part that sometimes changes,
mm-hmm.
you know, because moms often change, too, just because they're stressed and overwhelmed.
Right.
And then dads, whether they're very active or not, mm-hmm. you know, depends on the outcome of that situation, because mm-hmm. sometimes dads be chilling.
Yeah.
They're not really doing the dad thing.
Right.
So the moms start to, you know, get a little stressed. And then,
you know, the thing is that parenting style is something that definitely needs to be discussed. Because if you have two mm-hmm. different parenting styles, you know, you're just going to butt heads all the time. I wanted to ask you this question.
Okay.
Because, so do you feel like And that because both of your parents are there, that you are very different from a lot of people in today's society. Because I know for me, I have both parents mm-hmm. around, and so I am very different, and I am a daddy's girl, mm-hmm. even as old as my ass is.
Me too.
But so a lot of times, I think like I have a little bit of attitude with mm-hmm. some people about certain things.
Yeah.
Do you feel that way?
Yeah. I'm also a daddy's girl. Me and my dad have the same birthday, so aww. We're very close. And I do think that even just growing up with both parents, mm-hmm. and then they're still together, just and my views on marriage and mm-hmm. love and things like that, I feel like people, yeah, they kind of are like...
They don't really know if they haven't seen it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's kind of like something that I believe in, but mm-hmm. others that haven't experienced that with their own parents, mm-hmm. right? It's hard for them to want that type of union or mm-hmm. understand that type of... 'Cause I've seen my parents go through things, not in a bad way, but just like how they deal with finances or things that have to take place in the house or just us having sports and who's going to take this. And it's always a compromise, you know? And I think that's what I get out of seeing them mm-hmm. is the compromise rather than the other stuff that people are concerned about. I'm like, it's give and take. So I think my views are more of, they're different.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like my views are different because of how I was raised, having both parents, those things. And I feel like it made me a stronger individual. Mm-hmm. It also made me see through a lot of bullshit
mm-hmm.
because I had a father who was like, you see that right there?
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fall for that.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. Like, you know, I didn't have any brothers, but I, my dad was always like, see that dude over there?
Mm-hmm.
Don't.
Oh, yeah.
You know. Okay, Michaela.
Yes.
So this is something that I didn't really struggle with. I had to completely compartmentalize it.
Mm.
Like, I had an alter ego. Like, she went out on dates, and mm-hmm. then there was Jahari at home.
Yes.
You know, when my kids would go with their father, I would, that was the only time I went out. And my kids didn't meet anyone
yes.
that I dated.
Mm-hmm.
So how are your feelings about dating currently?
I think that mom should date.
I absolutely think so. Otherwise, you're bitter.
That, yes. I think that bitter. You need to date. You need the interaction. You need
to feel like a human.
Yes. Just to go out and have dinner. Talk to somebody. Yes. Get cute. You know, I love that. I always say, do that, even if it's dating your friends, you know, just go out with your friends. But a guy, definitely, I think moms should date. I agree that when you're, it's like an alter ego thing, you know, it's like at home, I'm mom and I'm this with Sayla. And then it's like, okay, you're not here?
Yeah.
All right, what are we doing? We about to go have some fun. We're going to, I like to have fun. So I'm very social and I think moms should date. I think that you should be focused on dating the person before introducing them to the kids. Of course, I think if you're going to date me first, mm-hmm. like me, mm-hmm. know that I have a kid. I'm not going to hide that, but, date me first, mm-hmm. be interested in what I have going on.
Mm-hmm.
Then when it does come time to meet my child, we should be at a place where you know what comes with me. You know that this is,
it's a package deal.
Yeah, this is
that's just, what that's, I would always say. Yeah. I'm a package deal. And when I was dating, a lot of men only wanted me.
Mm.
They only wanted me. And I, you know, I had two kids, two dogs, two elderly parents, and a crazy ex-husband. I come with a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not for the weak. This mm-hmm. is deep water.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
If don't come over here if you can't swim really, really well. You know, and that was so. All of that just stayed like surface dating, mm-hmm. just enough for me to socialize and feel like Jahari instead of mom mm-hmm. all the time. I try to encourage women to do that when mm-hmm. they get divorced or a relationship, but a lot of women just go into this deep shell of like rejection.
Mm.
And there's nothing wrong with that. If you just are like, you know what, I'm done. I don't feel like I have an opportunity to give anyone my time anymore.
Yeah.
But I also think that it's healthy, like you said, to date your friends.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not interested in whatever your sexual preferences, man, right. woman, whatever, mm-hmm. Then at least go out. At yes. least get pretty. At least yes. shave your legs, girl.
Yes. I'm big on like self-care. Like I go to the gym daily, weekly. I mm-hmm. try not to miss a day unless it's like the weekend. I give myself mm-hmm. a break. But even just that, it's yeah. like self-esteem boosting, you
yeah.
know, because it's like you go in there to look good, you know, mm-hmm. and then you leave, you're mm-hmm. tired, you feel tired. But I mean, you know that feel you put in some work. Yeah, you get some stress
also,
out.
Please, I take out all my stress on the treadmill.
Exactly. And it's like it feels good, you know, and then you look good, like I said. So yeah. it kind of just goes into a little bit more of like feeding into yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I'm with you. I encourage dating as dating. A, you know, as a single mom, mm-hmm. you know, like you said, date your friends, date somebody else, mm-hmm. at least have some interaction other than just working and being a mom, because you can only be a better mom when you take care of yourself.
Yes.
If you constantly sacrifice for your children, now granted, I sacrifice for my children, but every once in a while, and I'm not just talking about Mother's Day, ladies, mm-hmm. where you get to put yourself first.
Right.
I'm talking about pick often. A day of the week that you do something for yourself. Tell your husband, order pizza. I don't care. Tell your partner or find a babysitter, whatever you need to give yourself the mommy boost.
Yes.
It's so important. And I feel like if I hadn't done that, if I had gone into that space of, you know, just closing myself off, mm-hmm. that I probably would have not as been the kind of mom that wanted to have fun. It would constantly be about, you know, work mm-hmm. and structure. And, you know, if I'm constantly focusing on them,
right.
which gives them no room to breathe, which also gives them no room to choose what they want to do in life.
Mm-hmm.
And also make choices on their own.
Yeah.
You know, you got to give yourself some space to be able to give the kids some space.
Yes.
So, that's how I feel about dating.
Yeah.
When my husband and I were, he asked me to marry him several times before I said yes. but he still called me his fiance
mm-hmm.
from the beginning. 'Cause you know,
he love you, girl.
Yeah, that's right. But my son asked me when he called me his fiance in front of him, and I, you know, we mm-hmm. weren't technically fiancés. He said, "Mom, why does he call you his fiance?" I said, "Hey, listen here."
Right.
I said, "I at the time I was, you know, a certain age, and I said I'm this old, and I've got two kids, two dogs, two elderly parents, and your dad, and so I'm a package deal. So mm-hmm. if you are going to come at me, you better marry me. Because
mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. There's no halfway part for me. There's
nope.
no halfway.
Nope.
So, and he said, okay, that mm-hmm. makes sense. You know, he just, you know, because that was really it.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell this one story because it's amazing. We had been dating 30 days. And he had taken me to Miami for Valentine's Day, which was lovely. And we're sitting outside, and he's trying to make plans for us to go somewhere else. And I was like, oh, I can't do it that weekend. I have my kids. And he goes, so how often do you have your kids? And I go, you know, every other weekend I'm off. So he takes his phone out. He puts those weekends into his phone. And then he calls his assistant and tells her to put that in his calendar.
Mm.
And then he turns back around and says, we're just going to take them with us. And then he ordered all four tickets for us to go at the same time. So
yes,
if
that's
not what you're dealing with, ladies, he just wants you.
Yeah.
He doesn't want the package.
Yeah.
And you are a package, whatever
yes.
it is.
Yes.
It's a package.
Yes.
So that, for me, put him ahead of all of everyone else.
Right.
At that point, I had to start clearing the roster.
Yeah. Oh, because now you're applying that pressure.
No.
Now you letting me know that it's we and not just,
oh, yeah.
you know, you
oh, yeah.
or what you want to do.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He just was like, yeah, that's what we're doing.
Oh, yeah.
And at that point, he hadn't met my kids. And this was like, mm-hmm. he was planning something for like 2 months out. So I think by the midway point, he bought us all Dodger tickets. And we went to the Dodger game so he can meet the kids.
Wow.
That's how we did it. Instead of like a formal thing, we're just like, yo, this is Mark. This is, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And so the kids were very, very happy. I have some great pictures of them that day
when they met him.
So that's just an example of what it means when a man wants you.
Mm-hmm.
He will make it happen.
He will make it happen.
He will make it happen.
For all of y'all.
You know, whether you're, you know, I know there's all this talk out there about like single mothers not being, you know, worthy. We are.
I don't ever feel that, like that.
I don't know. It's those men out there that know that they can't handle it.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're not, you're about your business. You're not playing around.
Yes.
And you don't have time to play.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why they want to say that. And I think really, and this is an offshoot, I think really that's why people get so mad at Russell Wilson. Because he saw the value in Sierra when other people probably were like, nobody's ever going to want
you. And
she
only had one kid.
She only had one kid.
Like, what? That's not that bad.
And now
she has three with him.
Yeah, three with him. Four and altogether. That's his kid.
It just takes the right person to come in and be like, this is mine. And I'm taking over. And I accept what you have. They are part of it too.
Right. That is real love.
Yes.
That's real love. You know, I know your daughter's really young, mm-hmm. but have you felt at any point that you failed her? Have you had one of those moments yet?
Of course, where I just think, oh man, I'm not doing good enough. But then I feel like I get reminded, you know, just by friends or family. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, my dad tells me all the time, like, I'm proud of you. You know, you're a great mom. You do this with her. So I think in my head, I get stuck with like, oh, I didn't do this. Oh, dang, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't really get that from her or feel like, you know? So I think it's just mental. Sometimes moms feel like we're not doing enough, but we're doing.
Mine are grown. One is out of college. The other one is graduating from college. And on a daily, like, you know, if I have an argument with one of them, I'm crushed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I have to correct them on something, I feel terrible about it. Because the thing is, I just want to be fun, happy mom all the time. But, you know, life, you know, pressures, you know, jobs, things like that, they all create that kind of energy sometimes where you can't give them what they need. But I try really hard all the time. And I think for all moms in general, Gen X, millennial, you know, whoever, is we just keep trying to be better.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the one thing that you would say to any mom that you have learned, just one thing, what is it?
Be patient with yourself.
Right. Like I always say, I try to give myself grace.
Yes.
Because grace and understanding for myself. Because like I said in the beginning, children don't come with instruction manuals.
Yeah.
Each one is different.
Mm-hmm.
I have one introvert and one ambivert, and I'm an extrovert.
Oh, yeah.
So learning to parent and introvert was a very difficult learning to occur. But I have learned over the years how to love and support the introvert without pushing him into my extroverted ways.
Exactly.
So I think in summary that the part of the equation of being a mom is being completely selfless, no ego, no agenda, no trying to pressure them into something that will make you happy.
Right, exactly.
Make you happy. Uh-huh. Always give them what they need, even if they don't think they need it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. So Michaela, thank you so much for coming on today. This is a great conversation. This could go on forever.
Really?
Forever.
Yes.
But will you join me when saying free of fear, full of joy?
Of course.
Okay. So happy Mother's Day out there
to all you
moms. Sending you love and light for you and your children, whether they're with you near or if they're afar. We love you and happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Okay. Bye, darlings. We're going to say it three times.
Okay.
Free of fear, full of joy. Free of fear, full of joy. Free of fear. Full of joy. Bye, darlings. Happy Mother's Day.